Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, last week, our country, in particular Boston, we had another attack.
Yeah.
Another attack. And our hearts are still with the victims and the people of Boston as they're just trying to get back to a place of normalcy, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's difficult times. I mean, we're in difficult times.
Yeah.
And we prayed at the end of our program Friday. And I don't know if we prayed live, but we definitely prayed Friday that the Lord would grant favor, mm-hmm. and that the second suspect would be captured, mm-hmm. before sundown.
That's right.
Because, you know, once sundown goes down, and it's, you have the dark again.
Yeah.
And at one point during the program, we actually thought that, you know, they had a house surrounded. You know, there's been reports saying, come out, come out, come out. Give yourself up. And then nothing happened. Mm-hmm. So, praise God. God answered our prayers.
Yeah.
God answered our prayers.
Did.
He was captured. He was captured. The second suspect was captured. He was hiding in a boat that was covered. And in recent, you know, over the weekend, they released thermo
imaging
images.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they knew the exact, I mean, he was curled up and everything. I mean, they saw everything where he was at, knew, you know, what was going on. And so they've taken him. He's alive. And of course, they're doing questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's time for now for Bostonians, it's time for the country, you know, to look at, you know, God.
Mm-hmm.
God. CBN just reported about a tribute that Boston's having. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. But I want you to listen up.
In Israel, the city of Boston observes a moment of silence today, 1 week after two bombs went off at the Boston Marathon. Meanwhile, investigators are learning more about the suspects, even as they try to communicate with the one left alive. 19-year-old Johar Sarnef is listed in serious but stable condition today. Heather Sells has the latest.
19-year-old Johar Sarnef is unable to speak because of a neck injury, but has been able to respond sporadically to questions in writing.
Investigators are trying to learn what motivated him and his brother's alleged involvement in the Boston Marathon attack and whether they had any help.
I'm not convinced at all that they're planning more attacks. I mean, that's hearsay. I haven't got information about that, but, you know, we have to be vigilant.
But the city's police commissioner says a large store of weapons indicates they probably were planning more destruction.
They clearly had other explosives. They detonated those explosives at the scene of the arrest and shootout in Watertown. We feel that they had plans to use those explosives, possibly on soft targets.
Investigators are also trying to piece together whether the two brothers acted alone or as part of a larger sleeper cell. The investigation is prompting renewed concerns about the FBI's effectiveness in monitoring homegrown terrorists. The FBI questioned Tamerlan Tsarnaev at the request of Russian security services in 2011, but closed the case. Now we're learning that the 26-year-old traveled overseas to Russia and Chechnya just last year.
Somehow he got off the radar screen and traveled overseas to one of the most dangerous parts of the world.
But the fact is, we've stopped 16 plots in New York because we know that Al-Qaeda has shifted its tactics. It's not going to be attacking us from overseas. We've been able to prevent that. They are getting people in our country who are under the radar screen.
In Boston, many of the victims from last week's bombing are still recovering in the hospital. The city as a whole is also looking for ways to recover from a week that has left many shaken, confused, and angry.
Forgiveness does not mean that we do not realize the heinousness of the crime, but in our own hearts, when we are unable to forgive, we make ourselves a victim of our own hatred.
Bostonians are taking a collective minute to remember and reflect at 2:50 p.m. today. That's the exact moment 1 week ago when the first bomb went off. Heather Sells, CBN News.
That's so important because not only do we have to you know, give forgiveness, right? Because we're the ones that stay in bondage if we don't forgive.
Right.
But my goodness, it's a great time for Bostonians, for all of us, to check, search our hearts. I mean, we gotta ask God for forgiveness.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Look at what's happening. Look what America has. It's on the track, on the roadmap. What's happening? You know, and look where the church has been. It's like we've been sharing consistently by the grace of God, everything that the Lord has showed us of what is coming, and we're seeing all sorts of prophetic fulfillment every day. And one of the things that you know, we need desperately, and maybe we can link both of these words, but remember James Robinson's words about humility. You know what I'm saying? He says, there's a choice, humility or humiliation.
Yeah.
But you choose. And we need to be humble. Americans, the church, we need to be humbled. Mm-hmm. And when I think about these horrible, horrible, tragic events that have hit our country in recent time. You think about 9/11 and the terrorist attack. You know, we respond with, you know, we're going to build stronger and we're tough and stick our chest out. And we say, you know, they're not going to, you know, we're going to build again.
Yeah.
We're going to build again.
That's right.
And this pounding of the chest and New York strong and all of this. And it's like, oh my gosh, let's fall on our face.
That's right.
Let's fall on our face. I think about, you know, the hurricane that just hit New Jersey, this area, the whole Northeast, Hurricane Sandy. And my heart was grieved that as the storm is battling down, as waters are wreaking havoc in Staten Island and destroying, literally ripping apart the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And you see on Twitter and Facebook, Jersey strong, Jersey strong. And it's like, you know, Jersey on its knees. We need to be on our knees. We need to be, oh my goodness, what's happening? What's happening? And even with this, what just happened in Boston, when the Red Sox go to play their one of the first games back in baseball. And I understand that people are trying to rally, you know, with folks and trying to get, you know, people, I guess, in a good mood. Mm-hmm. But you have a baseball player that's, uses basically a curse word. This is our, you know, city, you know, and it's just like no one, you know, like this defiant thing, and just like, I'm grieved because I'm just thinking, we need to be on our knees.
Yeah, you
know what I'm saying, we need to be on our knees. It's not a time, you know. I don't know, you know. What I'm saying, I don't know, but to me, it's like, oh my goodness, let's just get on our face.
Yeah.
To think that two individuals. I mean, two. One who is like 19.
That we
like,
know no, of. Yeah,
exactly. We know of. But it's like, no offense, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, your front brain is not fully developed. You turn 18 years old. It was like 19 years old.
Right.
Can shut down an entire city? Can hold a whole city in captivity for a week? Mm-hmm. It's like, catch a clue. Right. I mean, we just seen a whole new veil of something that is making a major turn, and the only answer is God.
That's
it's
right.
The only answer, you know. It's the only answer, and it's for us to be humble. It's for us to cry out to God. It's for us to turn our hearts, and search, Lord, where do I need to be right with you?
That's right.
Where do I need to be right with you? Mm-hmm. Because there's hope for America. I mean, there's hope for America, but it starts with us, the church, looking at our own hearts and getting right with God. Praise God, the answer to prayer, the capturing of the second victim, and just our need to cry out to God.
The second perpetrator.
Victim,
yeah.
Perpetrator.
Yeah.
Said victim. I'm thinking of the victims. You know what I'm saying?
It
was just thinking of the little boy. So I'm connecting in my mind.
That's
connecting
so sad.
The second guy that was captured with the image that I saw of him standing right behind that little boy. You know, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's just, your heart just goes out. Mm. It's just a horrific, horrific, you know, listen, as a chaplain at a trauma center, you know, I saw trauma on a daily, hourly basis. And, you know, in order to minister with compassion, you've got to keep your heart soft. You can't be desensitized to it.
Right.
And it was just a constant place of shredding. I mean, it's just a constant place of brokenness that you see people, you know, going through so many life's tragic pain and tragedies. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And it's a time that literally just changed my life and perspective. But just to see, it's amazing how many people come through a hospital. Mm. And it's amazing how none of them ever planned to come to the hospital emergency room. See, yeah. It was an emergency.
Right.
Nobody planned to be there, but yet and still, they were there, you know. And my job as a chaplain, I was right there in the emergency room. I mean, it was like the doctor, it's, you know, he's coding, they're bleeding, they're cutting off their pants. I mean, it's everything. It's just like chaotic. And I'm standing right there. And my job at the time was to go through the person that was in the ER, go through their personal belongings, I mean, their wallet, and trying to notify a next of kin, a wife, a parent. Mm-hmm. And one of the rules at the hospital had that even if the person was dead, you couldn't tell the family member over the phone that they had passed away.
You just got to tell
them, you need to come to the, you need to come to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how all the plans, all the intentions, everything you had going on was so important. But at that moment, it's like within minutes, there's all this family and friends, like they just rush the hospital. Mm. And we'd have these kind of waiting rooms specifically just for families, and it'd be just packed out. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that in a moment of brokenness and softness that just people just listen, man. They just respond to God and they're open, and everybody, I don't know of any person in that situation in my whole period of time there that ever turned down prayer. And it's just like, you know, even from my own experiences before I knew the Lord, you know, it's like, I don't need tragedies to turn to God. You know what I'm saying? I don't want tragedies. I had them years ago. I never want to revisit that again. Mm. But why a tragedy? Why is a tragedy necessary to bring us in a place where our heart is soft, that we can respond to Him? Mm-hmm. And He's just so good and loving that we say, God, respond now. You know, I'm listening. Here I am, God, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Because life is short. You just never know.
You know?
Never, never, never know. And tomorrow's written in a fool's calendar.
Exactly
all
right.
we have is today. Mm-hmm. You know, don't hold back love. Is this love that you can tell someone? Open your mouth and tell them, I love you. Mm. You know, I love you. You know,
yeah.
You're important to me. You matter. It's nothing worse than someone passing away or no longer around. You realize, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I? What held me back from saying those things? Now, you know, and it's like, God can heal that if that's happened in your life. You know, He can heal us, but we can change. We can seize the moment. We can seize life. You know, we talked I think last week on Make Today Count. On VFN Radio, you know, make the day count. Don't just voyeuristically go through life and days and just, you know, humdrum and live for seasons in the summer and all that. No, make every single day count. Live with purpose. Live with destiny. Live with the fear of the Lord, which I'm hoping we can get to in today's program. Just talking about this, just the fear of the Lord. I know God's speaking to so many of us right now, of just having this revelation in our heart. Mm-hmm. But who knows how much time America has, how much time we have, you know, all these thoughts and ideas about the tribulation is like, dude, you can go see the Lord tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What you can see, you know, tribulation, rapture may occur for you in an hour.
Right.
The question is, what are you going to say when you see Him?
That's right. We don't know how much longer that, I remember Greg was talking about last week about that plank where America and a lot of us are walking on.
Yeah.
And blindfolded.
Yeah.
And we don't know if we got one more step or not.
Yeah. I was so powerful. The analogy that God gave him was that America's on this long plank, like in a pirate ship.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long plank of mercy.
Yeah.
And they've been walking blindfolded, and they have no idea that their next step, they've ran out of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
All the while that below this plank, you know, the sharks have been baited with chum.
Oh, yeah.
Bait.
Yeah.
And at any moment, the next step, it's over.
That's right. They have it's not over. A clue. Not a clue.
No. And I'm reminded in Genesis where God says that my spirit will not always contend with man. And one of the things that we just got to be careful is that we don't take the mercy of God for granted. Mm. You know, that's you don't right. take God's mercy and just say, oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it. The Lord showed me this was so powerful was that mercy should be appropriated in our life. What does that mean? It means that if we're given mercy, that we use mercy. I mean, why would we give mercy to anybody? Think, why would God give us mercy? What was the purpose of mercy? Hopefully the purpose of mercy would be that we would learn our lesson. I mean, if you're driving down 100, 50 miles over the speed limit and you know that you get a ticket, I mean, you know that, you know, broke the law, he pulled you over, and you got. It's done.
Your head, yeah.
And a police officer pulls over to the side of you and says, I remember, I'll tell you a story. We were coming back one time in college from a road trip, and we're in Tallahassee somewhere, and one of my friends was speeding, and police officer pulls us over. Mm-hmm. I wasn't driving at the time. Pulls us over. And I'll never forget this. And we were like, we're trying to get back to classes and stuff. And we were late and we're trying to, get back home after this road trip. I won't say what we were doing, but we're coming back.
Okay.
And the police officer pulls us over and says, what are you guys doing? You guys are flying on this road. I mean, he's like, basically, you guys are done. You're getting a ticket.
Yeah.
And, he goes back to the cruiser, and we're like, oh, great, you already can't afford to live in college. Like, a ticket is like, $1 million bill. It's
Oh, that's your groceries for a month.
Exactly. So he comes back, and with this father's heart, he looks at us and says, guys, I'm going to let you go. He says, you need to slow down. I mean, just like a father's heart, leans into the car. We're still sitting in the car. You need to slow down. He says, I do not want to scrape up another young person off of these highways. Hmm. I don't want to do that anymore. And we're like, oh my gosh. Wow. It's like,
powerful.
We were just sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, thank you, sir. Yes, officer. Yeah. And he just talked with a father's heart and says, I'm not going to give you a ticket this time. Hmm. You guys deserve a ticket. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you mercy. He didn't say mercy, but says, I'm going to give you a break.
Cut your break,
And, don't speed, break it down. It's that long corridor, because there's a couple colleges in Tallahassee, because a lot of people are traveling back and forth, and that's an area where people were, speeding a lot. Mm-hmm. And you just hurt his heart. And so what was the purpose of mercy? The purpose of mercy was for us to take that and say, dude, man, I'm going to learn from this experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could have been dead right now. I could have been hurt. I could have hurt somebody else. At the minimum, I could have got a ticket.
Yeah.
And at
certain speeds, you can be arrested.
They
could take you away. If I think it's like we're over 20 over the limit, maybe.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. They had that choice.
Yeah. Well, think about it. All that stuff could have happened. So what would the police officer want us to do in that case of mercy? He'd want us to learn to appropriate that and say, you know what? I got a huge break. I'm going to let this break serve me, and I'm not going to get into this again. I'm not going to speed on this road. I'm not going to speed at all. I'm going to let this soak in so it can change my behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's like America is racing on the highway to sin. It's just pedal to the metal, and it's just flying by. Mm-hmm. With no disregard to God. Nothing. It's just like flying in the face of the Lord. Music is cranked up high, not caring about anyone else who's on that road, what God says. There's blinking lights, slow down, danger, dead end, warning, don't get too close to the road. God has all this mercy on the side. You know, you get to the side of the road and you have those little bumper things that let you know mm-hmm. I'm too close. All these different things that God allows to happen. And it's like, are we going to listen to the mercy of God?
All right.
Are we gonna slow down? Are we gonna not live a reckless life in the face of God? Mm-hmm. And we just need to cry out for mercy.
That's right.
We just need to cry out for mercy. But when God gives us mercy, When God gives you mercy, mm-hmm. we don't want to take it and throw it back in the face and say, well, thanks for not the ticket, officer. See ya. And peel off as soon as he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what America's been doing.
Yeah.
That's what the church has been doing. She's been peeling off on God.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't play God. You know what I'm saying? You can't, like, you know, you can't fool God is what I'm trying to say. You're not going to get one over on him.
Mm-mm.
And the thing about it is that we don't know if we've caught the last break.
Yeah, exactly right. We don't know how many more steps we've got off that plank.
That's right. And so why not right now just cry out to God in your own situation? Say, Lord Jesus, you know, forgive me for my own sins, the sins of my nation, my family, and just repent.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I appreciate your mercy. And I'm going to allow this mercy to work in my life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.